This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You from Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Sorry, Sarah from New Mexico, we're not taking calls tonight. I don't know if she's not listening to the show, so I don't know how she would find that out. She'll probably call the studio.
Is it weird that we have callers that don't listen and just call?
I don't know. Maybe. We have a lot of callers who do that.
I don't know a lot, but a handful we do. There's a few that call but don't listen. I mean, because of the way we have the phone system set up, they can't help but listen if they're on hold.
Right.
So I guess to some extent they have to listen if they're calling.
And Sarah spends a lot of time on hold sometimes, so she may be, you know, Ian and Bonnie will be in the studio because when we do this, we pre-record the segments and I upload them and they, you know, set them all up and then they get broadcast. And yep. Ian and Bonnie sit in the studio listening to the show.
Yep.
So they will see it, presumably, when Sarah calls.
Right.
And I don't know if they'll call and be like, yeah, sorry, Sarah, we're not taking calls tonight, or if they'll just ignore it. I don't know. But anyway, we are not taking calls because we are on site here at Rogers Campground. It's Fork Fest number 7, happening June the 15th through the 18th, of course. But you're listening to this, and it's going to be the 17th. So if you want to make Fork Fest, you've got to get down here pretty soon. I'm a little bit surprised. It looks like That would be Sean and his family, Sean of Chuck Wagon Sodas. Also, they do a number of, well, they used to have a number of food trucks, but they sold most of them.
Yeah.
But it looks like he has arrived. He told me he would be arriving here today, but he won't be set up to sell drinks and stuff until, I think he said, Sunday.
Okay.
So a lot of other people are beginning to arrive. Of course, the dome down there, I'm curious to see what is going on down there.
Yeah.
It was not there this morning when I first got here. I was one of the first people here. It was really weird. I'm not used to being one of the first people here.
You're becoming an overachiever.
Not at all. But usually there are other, you know, people here doing stuff. And this year, I want to say I was the first Fork Fester here. I think I beat Chris here,
if
I remember correctly. But I don't really know. It was just strange to get here and look around. And, like, none of these people were here yesterday when I got here. And I just sort of did my things, took my time setting up. And I think I did a pretty good job. It looks great, right?
Yeah.
Actually managed to put the tarp on top of the canopy this year because it's, as mentioned, it's going to rain every single day.
Yep.
And usually it doesn't rain enough for that to matter, but the canopy here does have a few tiny holes in it, but it usually doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But when it's raining every single day, you know, let's got to do something about it. So this year, the big highlight of Fork Fest is the wedding that is taking place. And that's going to be, for us, it's tomorrow. For people listening, it will have already happened. So if you're listening, you missed the wedding. Sucks for you. Maybe next year.
Yep.
If there's a wedding next year. And then, of course, after that, the Porcupine Freedom Festival kicks off. And that's going to be a wonderful experience.
And in between those two things, too, I'm doing a listening party for three-song EP on Sunday night, Forkfest Eve, or Porkfest Eve, if you will.
Well, that's still Forkfest.
It is still Forkfest, yeah. And I wanted to do it during Forkfest specifically, and I thought the best night to do it would be Sunday night, right? Well, you know, sort of the...
You're not competing with a wedding and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm not competing with Porkfest as well, right? Because they have so many things going on during the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And that way, people who come early, you know, for the Porcupine Freedom Fest, maybe they get to hear it. You know, they can come by. I've got T-shirts for sale and, you know, all that kind of thing. I've got a limited run of 30 USB cards that are customized for Forkfest and Porkfest.
Very cool.
That even say that contain not only the three-song EP, but all three music videos. And then there's some extra stuff, too, some, like, random jams with people and just some bonus files, right?
To, okay,
you know,
awesome.
Extra stuff like you would expect to get. And it's exclusive for this. The EP doesn't actually drop until Independence Day. So
okay.
That's when it's available on, like, Amazon and Spotify and Apple, iTunes, all that crap. Doesn't happen until Independence Day. And if that's how you're going to get it, you're going to get the three-song EP, but none of the extras. So I wanted to do something special, particularly for Forkfest, but also for the Porcupine Freedom Festival, because, you know, Forkfest is a
right.
fork of that. And so folks who come and meet me and attend in person, you get something extra that nobody else is getting.
Very cool, man. And that's happening at RV 47, like right next to us, right?
That I've got some signs and stuff I'll put up.
That was another indicator that there was something wrong with me, is that, like, since the raid, my desire to make, I've had to force myself to make any music at all.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
And even then, I almost never complete them. The closest thing I got to getting a song completed was All for One and All for Nothing, and it everything had to be retracked again after I recorded it, because I just sort of did the layout the first few times. And, you know, I got the song composed, I guess, is the best way to put it. I got it composed, but then I did nothing with it. And I couldn't find, even though there's so much bubbling in me that I want to say, I don't know how to take all of that and convert it into anything, because there's just too much of it.
Right.
So that's been a frustrating experience. Like, I want to do this, I want to do that, but there's so much in the way that I don't even know how to begin. And this is the point of the therapy, right? But no. I mean, the therapists even argued that instead of sending me to prison, the judge should just keep me in therapy. And that's probably the best thing for me, they argued. But, of course, the judge did what judges do. And he makes his own decision. And
yeah.
In 10 days, I will be, in almost exactly 10 days, I will have checked into some federal prison to spend the next 18 months. And that's another one of those things where, like, you're constantly waiting on something. And
yeah.
I know when I'm in prison, I will be constantly waiting on my release. I'm going to try not to be, and I'm going to write. I say I'm going to write, but I know I haven't had the inspiration to write. I force myself to write here and there,
yeah.
But once I'm in there, I'm not going to have anything else to do, so I might force myself to do it every single day. And I may even work through all of these things. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
But I say I'm going to write, and that's generally my plan, but I may get in there and have the same issue that I've had with making music or whatever for the last 2 years, which is just that my heart isn't there.
Yeah.
Because my heart is broken,
yeah.
I guess. Very frustrating, but I'm looking forward to it being over. And so that will more or less be on my mind the entire time that I'm in prison. But now for the next 10 days, you know, there's a countdown timer here.
There is. I noticed that. And I understand why you did it, but it also saddens me that it's here.
Yeah. A lot of people think, like, how is your mental health taking that or whatever? But, like, honestly, the truth is, it doesn't make a difference,
yeah.
Right? Whether that countdown timer is there or not,
yeah.
I know that in 10 days, man, I'm going to federal prison.
Yeah.
That's not something you just forget about,
yeah.
Right? That's always there. It's always in the back of my mind, and the countdown timer there isn't going to remind me of it any more than I'm already being reminded of it. So to me, it's just a conversational piece. It's just a conversation starter, and it hasn't worked because everyone who is here so far already is well aware of what it's counting down to. And yep, I've counted down to Porkfest and Forkfest, and I do that every year because I like coming here and it's
yeah.
a great time, right? But this year it's got this weird bittersweet aspect to it where, like, yeah, I love it, but as soon as it ends, I'm going to prison. Not as soon as it ends, right?
Yeah.
Like, it ends that Sunday
yeah.
or the 25th. Or the 24th? I don't remember what day. Yes, the 24th.
Yeah, well, 24. Yeah, 25th is the Sunday, so.
The 25th is the Monday.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
You're right.
The 26th is this Tuesday, and that's, but you know, that's what I got to deal with. And I don't want to
stay behind for some reason. I thought it
yeah.
was, yeah, anyway, go ahead.
I only remember because I know the 26th is a Tuesday, because for whatever reason, everything that the judge scheduled to happen in my case, he scheduled for a Tuesday. And I don't know why, but it was always a Tuesday.
Is that a see you next Tuesday?
I guess. But, like, if a hearing got put off, it was always postponed to a future Tuesday.
Yeah.
And with Ian, it seems to be Thursday, if I remember correctly. But I don't know why they do it that way.
Yeah. Right?
But they do. And the only reason I'm out right now is to officiate this wedding.
Right.
Because it was in the letters that were written, and it was in my attorney's argument that, hey, you shouldn't send Aria to prison because she's got all these things to do.
It's so weird, though, that, like, that was a consideration for the state. Like, I would have expected the state to be like, we don't care. You're going in on this date anyway. Right? To have, like, no... I can't even describe it as sympathy, but to have no that there was any consideration for that at all. It is very unlike the state.
That's true. I mean, but weddings are important to people, right? And those are life changing events.
Yeah, probably important to the state because it's another way for them to have more names on their database.
So I don't know. I haven't really given any thought why the judge really cared. Obviously, it served my interest to keep me out of jail because the Bureau of Prisons, right, like, dude, it gets so frustrating talking to people sometimes because they, like, Google stuff.
Yeah.
And then they go, hey, I guess you didn't know about this, but Biden made a trans policy, so you're going to be fine. Okay, yeah, I will ignore what my highly paid attorney has to say about this and listen to the guy who did a Google search.
Yeah, and if I know you, you already were well aware of that.
Yeah. I mean, I have spent more time reading about this stuff than anyone else not going to prison.
Right.
Right. Because this is my life. It's my prison sentence. I want to know what I'm getting into. The only thing I haven't done is read the actual orientation handbook of any of the prisons. I skimmed some of them, but until I know what prison I'm going to be in, I don't want that clutter in my head because it varies.
Right.
And I don't want to know what the orientation is at this other prison that I'm not going to.
You want to know the specifics.
Right. And I'm not going to know that until, like, the very end. But I lost my train of thought because there goes Matt Roach on his dirt bike. And that's awesome.
Matt.
Congrats, Matt, and congrats on the wedding. Oh, but yeah, so they wanted to keep me out so that the Bureau of Prisons could figure out how to deal with a trans person. Because under Trump, you just went to whatever prison you were assigned at birth, right? And that's pretty much what it is under Biden, too.
Yeah.
But Biden created a committee. So don't worry, everyone. There's a committee involved. They're going to study things and defer things to a council, and the council is going to vote and defer it to a different committee, and that committee has a subcommittee that will send it to the subcommittee of the subcommittee, and at some point, someone, we're 2 months into this, by the way, will figure out what damn prison they want to send me to.
Or they won't, and they'll postpone it, and you won't have to go for longer.
I don't think they can do that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
State.
Yeah, that's true. They can do whatever they want, right? I don't think they would do that, though. I think they would just have me say, okay, well, report to Cheshire County while we figure out what to do with you. And yeah, I don't understand why they're not doing that either. Like, a lot of county jails throughout the United States, they do have federal prisoners in them when they're not serving long sentences. Like, if you're serving 12 months, it's too much trouble to transport you to a prison and have you there for, I mean, and if you're sentenced to 12 months, you're probably going to be out in 6 to 9.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of trouble to go through for someone who's going to be out in 6 to 9 months. So they usually just send you to a local county jail and you spend your time there.
Outsourcing.
Yeah. I said they might do that. They're like, okay, all right, we haven't figured this out yet, so report to Cheshire County Jail and just chill there for a little while we figure this out. But, like, guys, if you haven't figured this out by now, and again, we're almost 2 months into this, 2 months since I was sentenced.
Right.
And they haven't contacted me. People have been asking since the week of my sentencing, where are you going? Have you found out where you're going yet? Guys, it's the government. How did libertarians forget this? They're not efficient. They're not in a hurry.
They have no incentive.
They are doing this with all of the passion and excitement of the DMV.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
If not less.
Right. And so and we don't know what's going to happen, right, with me. I would, honestly, both situations suck. The women's prison has their own issues, especially the Connecticut women's federal prison. I can't remember the name of it right now. Danbury.
Yeah.
It's got a pretty bad reputation for a minimum security prison camp. And, like, this is the place that Orange is the New Black was based off of. And, and the girl who wrote Orange is the New Black, I don't remember, the book may have been the same name, I don't remember, but, like, she described people being, you know, having used tampons snuck into their food, having her head forcefully shaved by other inmates. Like, people had this idea that, you know, I'm going to go to female prison, and it's going to be like, pillow fights and lingerie.
Country
no.
club. Right, yeah. You're going to get massages and pedicures and a eucalyptus steam bath?
Right. It's prison. And it's every bit as vicious as any men's prison.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to the possibility of going to it. But then, men's prison, not any better. I honestly think it would be easier for me to go to a men's prison.
Uh-huh.
I think I would get less pushback, and I would be more likely to be left alone. But
I've known a couple of women who have been to women's prison, and they both say that they think that women's prison, federal prison that is more vicious than men's prison. And I was surprised by that coming from women.
I'm not. But neither situation is good. But that does seem to be what people think. Oh, you can go to a women's prison and, you know, just have sex for the next 18 months. Whatever. Well, no, first of all, that's a terrible idea. You do something like that, you're probably going to end up with more time.
What's the old joke? He couldn't get laid in a women's prison with a fistful of pardons.
Well, you shouldn't get laid in a women's prison because it just creates so many possible issues, man. There's a possible issue with jealousy, and you're not allowed to have relationships in prison, right? They frown upon that. They know what's going to happen, right? But, like, you're not supposed to do that.
I'm having flashbacks to Half-Baked. I'm somebody's bitch.
Oh, I missed that movie. There's something else I've been wanting to watch.
No, Squirrel Master came out of nowhere.
It's amazing that you mentioned that. They mentioned that in last night's episode of Free Talk Live when they were discussing Bob Saget because of the one scene.
Did you ever, for a Coke?
And I knew that Bob Saget was in that scene, right? But it still wasn't until years later that I saw Bob Saget doing stand-up that I realized just how bad his mouth really is. And they were bringing this up in the context of Drag Queen Story Hour and drag performers, because it's obvious when you stop to think about it. Like, Bob Saget, this family-friendly guy who did America's Home Videos and Full House and all this other crap, yes, he does plenty of family-friendly content, but his adult content is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's
vile.
Got a potty mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But none of that adult content means that he isn't family-friendly on America's Home Videos. You don't have people out there going, oh, no, we can't let our kids watch, what's the show, Full House, because I saw that Bob Saget stand-up, and that was just not okay. Right, but when it's a drag queen who does a video where she's, like, stripping or whatever, suddenly, oh, no, we can't have our kids around this because we saw that video. But that's not the way you assess anything else. And I brought up the example of movies once upon a time just because there are some movies that are rated R doesn't mean that all movies are unacceptable for children, right? This is an obvious thing. Different types of entertainment have different categories, some of which are adult-friendly and some of which aren't.
Yeah.
I would let my kids listen to metal, but I would understand why some people would be like, you know, five-year-old son, I don't know that you should be listening to Korn and Limp Bizkit right now, right?
Okay.
I wouldn't have an issue with it, but sure, it's a lot of foul language, and they don't know when it's okay to say things. I get it. I wouldn't agree.
You could apply the same thing to, like, I'm old school, so gangster rap.
Right.
Right? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that people will sort of, I don't want my kid listening to that, but they can listen to this other thing, and it's worse lyrically than anything metal could be.
But I get it. You know, you want your five-year-old kid to watch Pocahontas. Don't watch Pocahontas. That's trash. You want them to watch The Lion King, though. And you don't want them to watch Friday the 13th. Because it's just one is made for kids and one isn't. And that's totally fine. So anyway, I don't remember how we got into the subject of Bob Saget, but it's not super important anyway. And
he's a funny comedian. It was Half-Baked.
It was Half-Baked. Yeah. But I don't remember what we were talking about before we even got into that, because we are here at ForkFest. I'm not looking into any show prep at the moment. But we have some, of course, to talk about. In general, we're just talking about the ForkFest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
If we could change topics for just a moment, I wanted to mention the Green Monkey.
That's right. You had brought that up.
Yeah.
What
so,
is that?
There was a something circulating on the internets, the Twitters and that kind of thing, about some DNA of the green monkey being found in the COVID vaccines.
What is the green monkey?
So the green monkey is a species of monkey from Africa, I believe. And it is sort of famous, at least in my mind, during the OG AIDS epidemic coming out of the 80s.
Okay.
Now, the reason that stuck in my mind is because I went to an all, you know, it was like the high school put on in the auditorium kind of thing. It was all, everybody had to attend kind of a thing, and it was a presentation about the AIDS epidemic and, like, what you could do, how it affects you, you know, education of, like, you know, well, you can get it from this, but not from that, and it's only sexually transmitted and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And they went into great detail at this presentation back in the 80s about how the belief was that AIDS originated with the green monkey, and that somehow it transduced itself from the simian, the monkey population, into the human population. They implied, of course, that somebody, you know, had some sort of an interaction with this monkey. And so...
Right, I think I remember this, that. They suggested that someone, you know, fornicated with an ape.
And what happened
at
this particular seminar that I was at is my friend Al, who was a bold dude, metalhead, you know, he was really, like, I think today he would be an anarchist.
Okay.
You know, like, I'd like to think that anyway. But anyway, he was the one, like, there was a Q&A section, and he was the first guy to stand up, all, like, proud, me, like, Horseshack style. And they go, yes, you, sir, what is your question? And he said, I just have one question. Who effed the green monkey? And the whole place erupted in laughter, and the speaker...
But did he say the actual word?
He said the actual word,
okay,
yeah.
Hardcore.
And then, of course, he was escorted out immediately
Obviously, after that
because of the type of environment that he was in. And, of course, the speaker just sort of downplayed. He's like, well, we don't know exactly how it jumped from the monkey population to the human population, this, that, and the other thing. And so that stuck in my head because it was funny. It was hilarious. My friend Al stand up and ask this question that was on everybody's mind who was listening to this presentation. You couldn't help but think about that question. So he asked the question that nobody else was going to ask anyway and didn't get an answer. And so now years later, there's this thing going around on Twitter, which there was an AP News article that said, no, it's not true that there was green monkey, it's S40, or there's some designation to the green monkey virus that's found in the COVID vaccine.
And well, you can definitely trust the Associated Press, right?
Right. And like, this article is debunking, saying, like, no, it's not the virus, but there is this little piece of the simian DNA that is in there. So the story is not exactly untrue. The AP article is trying to debunk it with a headline, but then also go on to say, well, yeah, there actually is a piece of this DNA that can be found in the COVID vaccine, but it's not the virus itself.
And that's really a problem because a lot of people only read headlines.
Right.
And then it doesn't matter if the article itself completely disputes what the headline says. They're going to go on believing whatever they think the headline suggests the article contains.
So the green monkey rears its ugly head again, this time during the COVID vaccine.
At least so far, it didn't give anyone HIV. There's more coming up here from Forkfest, so you can come hang out with us at RV46. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
U.S. PSA News Update. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro said repairs following a tanker fire will be completed within 2 weeks. President Biden's re-election campaign is underway. He held his first major 2024 campaign event at a rally Saturday hosted by union members in Philadelphia. More than two dozen people are reported injured after a Baltimore City bus crashed into a building. Fire officials say the bus collided with two other vehicles before hitting a building near the downtown area. The Justice Department is filing a protective order to stop former President Trump from releasing classified documents. The filing could mean the Justice Department won't try to have Trump blocked from accessing the records he stored in his Mar-a-Lago home. Two new movies with high expectations are underperforming at the box office during the extended Juneteenth weekend, Warner Brothers' The Flash and Pixar's Elemental. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Played this song a few weeks ago. Just sitting around my house, I was like, yeah, I haven't played that in a while. Let's play it. And, like, I don't remember how to play it. It was a song that, this is Broken Man by Rebel Sink, and we played it at Fork Fest here 3 years ago.
I keep forgetting the name. People will call into, like, Beer Talk Live. Hey, what was the name of the band of the intro music? And I've said it so many times, but I can never remember. Rebel Inc.
Rebel Sink, yep. Or Rebel Inc., I don't know.
Yeah, it's singular.
Okay. And I wanted to play it, and I remember it was tuned down to C sharp, or D flat, whatever you want to call
Didn't
it.
Did we play it in
It's
drop D,
but it's down half a set. No, I used a separate guitar for it.
Oh, okay.
To make things a little bit easier. And it was a lot of fun to play, but I haven't played it since, right? That 3 years ago was the last time I played that song, and I don't remember. I remember that solo part at the beginning, because it was just two notes and some bends, but that's it. I wish I could remember more of it.
If it makes you feel any better, I totally botched the lyrics during the performance. So,
nice.
Like,
well, I botched whole show. So.
We got it at some point. And I had the lyrics written down, and I was trying hard to memorize them, you know, before the show, because that was the one song that I didn't have completely memorized. And so we got to some point, and I remember just, like, looking around at you guys while you were still playing and going, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be singing right here, if anything. Like, I'm like, where are we in this song? And so I just sort of ad-libbed a little bit, and we eventually ended the song, and everybody was like, yay! So it all...
Yeah, no one noticed.
No one notices these things when you're on stage. But when you're on stage and you're in the moment, these little tiny moments of seconds seem to take forever.
They can't, yes.
You know, you're like, oh my gosh, I've been screwing this part up for 5 minutes. It's like 5 seconds.
That solo for Enter Sandman is the one that sticks out most in my mind, because that was where I completely lost the ability to see. And I was just...
Right, we're playing, it was dark, we only had tiki torches for lights, we had no stage lighting whatsoever.
And I did not put nearly enough oil in the tiki torch that was on my side. I thought it lasted longer than that, but like halfway through the show, it was almost completely gone. And by the time Enter Sandman goes, I was just a black silhouette. Going off his touch.
Listening back to some of the video footage that somebody captured, I don't like the footage that was captured. It was, you know, a crappy cam and that kind of a thing. So, of course, it doesn't sound as good as it could have.
Well, I mean, we put it together in 3 weeks. So.
Right, right. But, like, I am impressed with how all three of us were able to pull it off without being able to see. Like,
that's
the,
true.
Like the
yeah.
drummer probably had the easiest time because there's, you know, the chrome rims around each of the drums.
Yeah.
So any little bit of light might have illuminated the drums just enough for the drummer to see. But you and I know I couldn't see my fretboard at all.
I couldn't see anything.
So I was what I call press and pray. I was pressing on the strings, praying that I landed on the appropriate fret because I could not see the dots at all. So it was all just muscle memory, hoping that I remembered the riff appropriately. And like by hook or by crook, we pulled it off, so it was impressive.
And it came out good. I mean, it wasn't the worst show I've ever played. I had to give that some serious some thought, because it was not a good show, but it was not the worst I've ever played.
Not the worst I've ever played either.
And it was fun, and people seemed to enjoy it.
And for pulling it together as fast as we did, right? I mean, it was a good time.
I hate that I wasn't as... My GNX3 was giving me problems then, and I've since learned what it was that it was doing, but like some of the settings, like some of the game was turned up on this particular channel and not that channel, and I was using channel 21 when we practiced and when we did the sound checks, and then for the performance, I ended up on channel 22 or whatever. Miscellaneous little things like that completely screwed things up. But all in all, and the only reason that was the case was because I was really unfamiliar. I hadn't used that amp anyway. So it was all, you know, but it was good and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I wish I could remember how to play that song, but.
Well, and
I've mostly moved to playing bass lately, right?
That's what you were saying, yeah. You're doing some slapping and popping?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to play bass, play it like a bass, right?
Yeah.
I recorded one video, so someone was like, hey, are you using a pick? I was like, why would I use a pick to play bass?
Oh,
no.
Thank you. Like, there are some types of music that, like, I think playing bass with a pick is required if you're not... what I call an active bass player, right? A passive bass player, a song that requires passive bass playing is where the bassist literally follows the guitar. Maybe there's an occasional variance here and there just to let you know, hey, there's some bass here, right, outside of the
like
low
Breaking
frequencies.
Benjamin or someone like that?
Yeah, you know, or there might be an occasional, like, one pop on the bass, but mostly, like, what I call passive bass playing, a pick is just fine for that stuff. But when it comes to active bass playing, where the bass player is playing something fundamentally different than the guitar player or players, then I think fingers and slap and pop are required for that type of music.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I've never found much use in having a bass player just play along with whatever the guitars are doing, because, like, I tend to put a lot of bottom end on my guitars anyway, so it's sort of, it's blue on black.
Yeah.
And, like, you're just going to play the root note of whatever I'm playing, I can just turn my bass knob up a little bit and get pretty much the same effect. So I prefer, I wish I could play Primus, and I can't play some Primus, nowhere near as well as Les Claypool, obviously.
Nobody can play near as well as Les Claypool, except Les Claypool.
Yeah, I listened to his song, Highball with the Devil, recently.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that particular song before, and a friend said it to me, he's like, hey, I want you to learn how to play this. I said, hey, that's two bass guitars at once, no thank you. And, like, even trying to play one of the bass lines, it's just so hard. And then I watch people like Davey 504 and Charlie Brutad, I don't know his name, they're YouTubers, and they're just phenomenal. They give Les Claypool a run for his money, definitely. These guys are good.
Yeah.
And it's amazing watching them play. Like, I'm not that.
Yeah.
I was not interested in bass. I always played my 4-string when I played bass, because that was just what I knew. And then I was like, yeah, I want to play my 5-string because it sounds better. It's got a better tone. It's fuller. It's brighter for whatever reason. Even though they're the same make and model, but one is a 4-string and one is a 5-string.
Same pickups?
Yeah.
Active?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah.
But So I asked on Facebook, you know, give me some good bands to play along with. And someone said, well, Korn. I was like, duh, Korn. Yeah, because I wanted something that was more advanced than, like, Breaking Benjamin. Yeah. I don't even know a Breaking Benjamin. You could not pay me to learn a Breaking Benjamin song.
Yeah, I don't
know
any of their music.
But some sort of generic, easy-to-play bass song is what I'm thinking of. And I wanted something between that and Primus.
Yeah.
Right? And usually Tool falls in about that spot, but I get so sick of playing Tool. Tool can be fun to play because they have neat riffs and weird timings and stuff, but, like, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And there's only so many times I can play Schism or 46 and 2 or whatever before I want to blow my brains out.
Sober. Right?
Yeah. Sober is one I never learned on bass because it's so easy. It's like just two notes through the whole song. It's like, no, thank you. So 46 and 2, Schism, those are generally funner to play on bass. But still, that's only like two songs. And they're like, all right, well, I need something else to play. So someone suggested Korn. And I'm like, duh. Because that's exactly what I'm looking for. It's a lot of slapping. Not much plucking, but a lot of slapping and a lot of style. Like, you know when you hear Korn that it's Korn. And it's the bassist that makes it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
And one of my friends that I worked with, he's a musician. He thought it was the drummer making that noise. Like, he records, he's got music that he wrote on Spotify, and we were having a conversation about this, and he asked me, he's like, what is the drummer doing to make that noise? I went, yeah, that's good. He's like, oh, what is he doing? I was like, you poor guy. That, how do you not know that's the bass?
Yeah, it's kind of like, in ways, being a musician resembles being a libertarian in that not everybody knows what the hell you're talking about when you talk about it, right?
That's true. I take
it for granted that I know the difference between an electric guitar, a bass guitar, and a drum kit, right? And keyboards. But like some people, when they listen to music, all they do is they listen for how it feels to them. They're not discerning what instrument is what. They might not even know what instrument is doing what. They just know that when they hear this song, they like it. And it makes them feel good in some way, or feel bad, or, you know, they identify with it in some way, shape, or form. And so libertarianism is similar to that because, well, you and I can sit down and talk about things that me and somebody who's not a libertarian and never heard of libertarian philosophy, we can't sit down and have that same conversation until they get up to speed.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So the same thing with,
but
like,
still,
musicians.
This kid was a musician.
Oh, well, then that's, yeah. And there's no excuse.
It reminds me of this old drummer that I had, like, years ago who thought in the Tool song right into, like, toward the end, the bass drum and the bass guitar, the bass guitar slaps the open D at the same time that the drummer kicks the bass drum, and it sounds really good. And the drummer that I was with thought that it was like this ball and chain effect that the drummer was using. I was like, nope, that's also just the bass.
Oh, I see.
But anyway, so I started playing a lot of Korn lately, and I discovered that bass is actually a lot of fun because it's got such a different vibe to it.
It does. It's a unique
guitar instrument
in that respect.
And it's hard to play bass without being kind of funky with it, right? And
I love funk music, too, particularly for the bass lines.
In just a few months of practicing bass, I was writing bass licks in my songs that I was working on that are never going to be completed now that I would never have conceived 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever. And that's an interesting development, right? Like, and I've been listening to a lot of different stuff now. A lot of different stuff is influencing me that wouldn't have been influencing me the last time I was really writing music. Like, Poppy is such a weird chick, and I want to like Poppy, but I hate a lot of her stuff, but her sound is incredible, right? It's almost entirely driven by bass and drums.
Yeah.
And this is also true of, like, Falling in Reverse and a few other of those very, very new metal type of bands. The guitars are there, but they're so minor in the mix that this was the case with the more recent songs I was working on, was that they weren't driven by the guitar anymore, which is how my music has always been. Right. It's like the guitar is the driving force and everything else just goes with it. But here it was, the guitar was going along with it and everything was going forward at once. Yeah. And it was a lot more fun.
I really like that you're having or experiencing, you know, musical growth at this particular period in your life.
Yeah.
You know, I like that something else has sort of caught your attention and you're exploring it and you're allowing yourself to grow with it musically, particularly, you know, with all the crap that's hanging over your head and all that kind of stuff. I think it's important for you to not ignore that.
I suspect when I get out of prison and when I get back into a stable place and I can get my, God willing, I can end up somewhere where I can rebuild my music studio, because I still got all the stuff, right? I just don't have the actual studio anymore. But I'm hoping I can get somewhere where I can get my studio back together, because I'm going to have all of this crap, because this will be behind me at that point, and I will be able to look back and write about it. And I'm sort of looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Because one of the last things I said with my therapist before our final meeting ended was, you know, I feel a lot of crap right now, and I don't even know how to begin to decipher. And she's like, I hate that you said that, because we just ran out of time. And, like, we were just getting into the good stuff. And I was like, well, yeah, well, my sentencing is tomorrow, so hopefully we'll talk again next week.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot to unpack there, and I'm looking forward to that. And I say I'm looking forward to it, and I am. I'm looking forward to having all of this behind me, and that's why I'm not appealing the sentencing. Plus, appealing the sentencing wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I've got no grounds to appeal the sentence. If the judge went over the sentencing guidelines, we could have appealed the plea agreement and, you know, got all that taken care of, but he's went way under the guidelines. So I don't know if they could do this, but, like, we appeal it, and they go, yeah, the judge under-sentenced you. You should have been sentenced to 36 months, not 18. Go back to prison. Like, I don't know if they can do that.
Nobody wants that.
It's the government. They can do whatever they want, right? But we are having a great time here. It's a beautiful day. It's actually a bit warm now, but that's how it is here at Fork Fest. And there's people steadily rolling in. There's people setting up. And there's a dome down here at the bottom of the hill that I'm tremendously curious about, because
Is it fully built now? I can't really see behind me.
The framework is mostly built.
They've been making progress on it.
Yeah, it's curious. I've always wondered. Now, I know a few years ago when they built this, Stephen and Derek stacked a bunch of picnic tables on top of each other and then climbed up them in order to build the upper parts of it. But they don't appear. Oh, they have a ladder. That's easier.
Is this the same dome, do you think?
I don't know. You know, that's a really good question. I don't know what they're doing, but it was initially the Somalia pirate ship, I think is what they called it. And, of course, that was back when Will Coley was DJing it, and before Stephen himself had started DJing. It was a lot of fun.
Right.
Then it became the Big Gay Dance Party. And then, of course, Derek and Stephen left after the March the 16th raid. I think that day, or if it wasn't that day, it was the day after they had packed up all their stuff and gotten out of the U.S. And I can look, Coinbase and Binance should have figured this out, too. They didn't.
Right.
But it was obvious that the federal government was going to come after cryptocurrency, and it breaks my heart to look around and see this, because, like, you know, I am going to prison for fighting in this particular war.
Yeah.
And we lost this war. I hate it, but we did.
Well, and anybody who thinks that the United States of America is the land of the free, the home of the brave, I urge you to take a look at what is going on in the crypto universe. The persecution that the government has, they have it out for anybody cryptocurrency. Exchanges, developers,
brutal.
Anybody involved in that space trying to make a go at startup companies, you're all under threat, because the government has finally, in some way, figured out that cryptocurrency is a direct threat to their existence.
Yeah, Gensler, the chair of the CEO of the SEC, he said this, right? He said, you don't need any cryptocurrency because we have the U.S. dollar.
We have the dollar. It's already digital.
Yeah,
we've been saying for 10 years now.
But that was the quiet part. I'm amazed that he had the...
I mean, not that... You know, we don't need crypto. We haven't been saying that. I'm saying we've been saying that the dollar is already digital. There's not enough actual physical cash to, like, account for all of the dollars that are in existence in people's bank accounts.
Only 3% of the dollars in existence actually is physical currency, right?
Yeah, so 97% of it is virtual, is digital.
That's why I love Fork Fest and the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You can actually use cryptocurrency here. I can't. I look forward to being able to use cryptocurrency again more than you know, man. I miss scanning that little QR code. And it's such a minor thing, right? But, like, the cryptocurrency was in many ways like my main piece of activism.
Yeah.
Right? That was what I did. And that was what I promoted. I was out there every day doing something in regard to cryptocurrency, and now for more than 2 years, I haven't been able to touch the stuff, and I hate it. And I've watched Keen sort of lose its status as the crypto mecca because of this, and, like, that sucks. I used to do the crypto tours. As I mentioned, you know, I'm heavily into this cryptocurrency thing, and I was the one who did the crypto tours when people came to Keen, and they wanted someone to show them around. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
And that continued on. The Verge had me do that for them. Someone who visited me from the United Kingdom had me do it for them. And there have been a few crypto tours since the raid, but it's such a sad, hollow, empty shell of what it was. It's like, well, if you look way down there, there is a business that accepts Bitcoin, and if you look way down there on the other side, there's one, and that one used to, and that one used to, and that one used to, and that one used to.
I forget to mention this all the time, but here at ForkFest and PorkFest, you know, I have T-shirts and this EP thing. I am not taking FRNs.
Nice.
Like, that is, you know, I've said it on the radio a couple of times. I'm horrible at promoting my own stuff, so I don't know how much I've done. But I am refusing FRNs. I will take gold, silver, gold backs, cryptocurrency. All of those things are available option for you. If for whatever reason you're here and you're trying to buy something from me and all you have is FRNs, turn around.
And come see me, because I have gold I will sell you.
And ask somebody. That's like, there are so many people here going to be
just
here.
Just come to me. I need to sell the gold because I got a $5,000 fine to pay. So forget all those other people.
Yeah.
Find me. Because I got plenty of gold that I am selling. I'm not intentionally selling it anymore because I'm like, I stopped by on the way up here to pay the fine, and that sucked. But, like, I was driving by Concord anyway, so killed two birds with one stone, and I had to pay $2,500 of it at least before going to prison.
Yeah.
And I don't know
Or else what? They're going to throw you in prison?
They'll probably hold me in prison longer.
Oh, okay.
So,
I was just like, well, like, can they really increase your punishment somehow? Can they threaten you with jail if they're already going?
It's contempt of court if you don't obey, so.
What if you were poor and couldn't pay?
Well, they shouldn't have fined me, right?
Agreed.
My attorney said the entire time that they weren't going to fine me because it was silly for them to. But they fined me anyway. And again, even that was half of the fine that I was supposed to be given. So, like, consistently, the judge took whatever I was supposed to have done to me, and he cut it in half. And I don't know what that says, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
Right. But anyway, so I stopped by on the way up here and paid part of that fine. It was frustrating. I had talked to my attorney again because my attorney has an office right there by the courthouse, which is super convenient. So I was like, hey, I got to stop by and pay this fine, and I've got a dog and two cats with me, so I need to leave the car running. So I don't want to just park on the street, right?
Yeah.
So can I park in your driveway? And he was like, yeah, of course, blah, 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 blah. And then he mentioned to me my studio equipment that the FBI has that they took from me on March the 16th. They took a bunch of stuff, but they took out
of my... Like your compressors and gates and stuff?
No, they took my computer and an external hard drive.
Yeah.
And the reason the external hard drive is significant is because it has the only remaining copies of all the music I wrote before to New Hampshire. And there are a few songs that I have in other places, and I've since re-downloaded, but, like, the full collection is on that external hard drive, and all the music I was working on. Plus, back then I was doing something called Bad Movie Club.
Yeah.
With some friends and I would hang out, we would watch bad movies and record it, and then we'd, you know, edit it and make it entertaining and throw it online. All of those clips, all of those unfinished episodes, all of those unfinished songs that I was working on, all of that stuff is on that studio computer and on that external hard drive. And they took it. And my attorney and I pointed out to them, to the prosecutors, hey, this stuff, it says here in the discovery that it just contains a bunch of music files and nothing related to cryptocurrency, so can Aria have this stuff back?
Right.
And the prosecutor said, yeah, we don't have any problem with that. Yeah, just contact the FBI. And so they got that worked out. My attorney was supposed to meet with the FBI agent on next Thursday. He's going to bring it to me.
Yeah.
And then he didn't. And he followed up, and it turns out that they don't want to give it back to me because of the raid on the studio in 2016. I wasn't even in New Hampshire when this happened.
Right, what does that have to do?
They said because of the lawsuit filed by the Shire Free Church and Ian against the FBI, They won't relinquish my stuff, right?
What does one have to do with the other?
It has nothing. It's punitive. That's all, right? They're being petty because Ian is suing them. They're not going to give me my stuff back. That's all it is.
That's lame.
Yeah, that's the government, right?
That is, yeah. I mean, this is what the government does. Not only do they, murder people, not only do they oppress people, not only do they tell people what to do and how to do it, but they continue the harassment no matter what avenue.
Like, that doesn't even have anything to do. I lived in Mississippi at the time that raid happened.
Yeah.
And this computer, the prosecutors have admitted, the FBI has admitted, everyone has admitted.
Look at the dates on the file creation. Right?
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with cryptocurrency. There's nothing about cryptocurrency anywhere related to that.
Yeah.
Like, it had its own separate Telegram account. Like, I specifically kept the two things separated.
Right.
That was just the Omdouzia's music studio. It had its own separate Telegram account, so it didn't even have that.
Right.
There was nothing crypto related on there. It was just music and for movie, for video and audio production. But no, because Ian is suing them, they don't want to give me my stuff back. Though the prosecutors know that it's no use in the case against me, even though the prosecutors know that it's got nothing to do with 2016 and anything on it has nothing to do with 2016. They can't even search for it in the context of stuff they were looking for in 2016. There's nothing on it except audio and music, audio and video files. But like, it's completely and totally separate.
Yeah.
And the FBI knows it. I know it. My attorney knows it. The prosecutors themselves know it, and we're willing to give it back. But the FBI is petty. And because Ian is suing them, they're refusing to do it.
Yeah, well, and the FBI is an organization that, like the rest of the federal government, needs to go the F away.
That would be great, but give me my stuff back first. I was surprised that they gave me my DVR back that contained footage of the raid, and I was surprised that they gave Ian's back as well. Now, mine ended up not being nearly as exciting, so I wanted to release mine, but mine was very dull. And, you know, I was working on it. I had extracted the video, and I was getting it together and all that, but then Ian got his and released his, and his was so much more exciting. I was like, it would be pointless for me to release this, so I ended up just getting rid of it because it was useless. But I was surprised they gave that back without wiping it, right? That doesn't seem like that what they would do.
Right.
But they sure enough did. They returned it without wiping it. All the footage was there.
I think they want to showcase their brutality.
Well, they certainly did that. And the videos are quite horrific. If you haven't seen them, go to freekeem.com and look for FBI raid. You'll find it. But there is more coming up here. The FBI almost certainly here as well. And if it goes through themselves, it's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.